This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Joy is essential and it's also elusive. But now there's a new and exciting way to start your journey toward a more joyful existence. Joy 101. It's a new podcast hosted by me, Hoda Kotb. If you're craving inspiration to maximize your joy, tune into these candid, uplifting, and moving on-air chats. Listen to Joy 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Joy 101 with Hoda Kotb is presented by CVS.
Introducing America's Workforce Academy, built by Meta. Paid training, a job, and a path to America's future. Because the future is for everyone. Learn more at meta.com/America's Workforce Academy.
Welcome to the Murphy, Sam & Jody Daily Show podcast.
Murphy, I overheard a conversation you were having at the house. You were on the phone and I kept walking in and out of the room and I was trying to block it out, but I just could not do it. Our oldest daughter, Taylor, had called you.
Oh, yeah.
And asked you about some help with some organizational skills.
Yeah.
She's managing a full-time job and grad school right now. So she called Murphy. Why are you smiling, Sam?
I'm just waiting to see where this goes.
And it was a long conversation, and I love that she called you for that. And you guys ended up talking for like an hour, but I didn't say anything, but I was worried that you had overwhelmed her because I heard things like Eisenhower Matrix. I heard calendar merging. I heard all this stuff. I thought, did she feel good at the takeaway? Is she like...
She get hit with a fire hose.
Right. Because Murphy, you have been on a mission since I first met you to refine your systems, and organization is your goal. I mean, that's the reason you went on your MAM retreat.
Yeah. And the reason that it actually did not overwhelm Taylor is because she and I are mentally wired very similarly.
Yes.
We are easily distracted people. We're easily sucked into the emotion of things, and we're easily overwhelmed by too many things coming at us at one time. And the conversation, went great. You know, and I realize over the years there are certain things that I have probably over-explained to our girls. And I even jokingly told Taylor, I said, if this is too much, stop me. But she absolutely connected with and got all of it. And I think it's because I simplified it into two things. I just basically what I told her, if you want to know what the secret
is. Yes, I do.
Because her whole thing is she's having trouble making some things stick to her calendar, that we all do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then things that we really do want to get to, we never seem to get to because the other things lead us down a path. That's a very human, common, thing. And so any organizational system, and there's a bazillion of them out there, and there are a million books on it, always boil down to priority and choice. You know, you have to make, with what's coming to you, you have to make a decision whether that it's something you're going to do, you're going to defer it, meaning schedule it, delegate it to somebody else if you can do that, or delete it. It's just not important.
Yes.
And if you make that decision, the moment you get something that comes at you, you're going to have a better chance of actually, classifying it. But then you have to schedule and organize it, which becomes the, okay, how do I prioritize it? You know, how important is it really? And that's the Eisenhower Matrix. So we don't have enough time to describe that. But
look, I'm just so glad that she, got something from it because all I heard was,
Yeah, I know.
Discontinued foods that you wish you could get back. It doesn't just happen in the cosmetics world. It happens at the grocery store all the time. Yeah. We asked and you really came through with yours.
Yeah. And so Valerie's comment is Mr. Pibb is back in better form. So she's found it. She said, I grabbed one as soon as I saw it. Ranch Wheat Thins. I guess that's what she says are gone.
Oh, I remember that for a minute, a hot minute. They were very flavorful Wheat Thins.
And Lime Coke. She says Lime Coke, Lime Diet Coke. I agree with that one. I love Diet
Murphy,
Coke
you
Lime.
Missed that. Yeah.
But that came back limited edition recently.
Yeah, that came back for a short time.
Yeah. Michelle says Duncan Hines microwave cupcakes. The mug cakes just aren't the same.
Oh, yeah. They used to have microwave cake mixes a long time ago. Yeah. And
it come in the little cardboard foil thing?
It did. It came in its own little microwavable thing. Yeah. And you didn't have to bake a cake, but you could... sort of bake it in the microwave. And I guess it probably does taste a little bit better than mug cakes. You're right.
Probably one step up from an easy bake oven. Michelle says Taco Doritos.
Yeah.
Now, I know those come back every now and then.
I know they do,
too. Within the last year, they've been back. But they come back for a limited time and disappear again.
Watch for them in the store. When I find those, I buy them for my brother. When we were growing up, he loved those.
And those are easy to spot, too, because it's an old-timey-looking retro bag, and it's got the sombrero on it, usually.
They do taste really good, too.
Yeah.
Or forget about it.
Jose says, Bigfoot from Pizza Hut.
What's that?
It's a big pizza. I don't know exactly what was on it, but I know every now and then they bring back the Shaq-a-roni pizza at Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah.
I've had that before. It's just like a humongous pizza loaded with pepperoni.
All the little curling pepperonis.
Curling and regular. So maybe, Jose, maybe look for the Shaq-a-roni next time
it
comes around.
It was in the early 90s, the Bigfoot pizza.
Oh, okay.
2 foot. 21 slices. That's what he's talking
That's
about.
That's a party pizza right there.
2 feet.
Okay. Amy says, Toasty Yay's Girl Scout cookies. Wants them back. Why would they ever get rid of those?
Those were the French toast tasty ones. Those were
French
good.
French toast, yeah.
I was about to say, I can't remember, but of course you guys remember.
I think they were only around for a couple years, though.
Our post where we asked the question, I was holding Tab, because Tab would be mine. Tammy said, I used to love Tab and Miss Pudding Pops, too. Stephanie says Tab was a lab experiment gone wrong. Don't miss it at all. Wade says Tab is like carbonated prune juice. What? That taste. Courtney says my friend Kim would sell her soul to have Tab again. When your kids play sports, you have to know how important it is. The way that you behave is so, so important. They have done some research and some studies, and we all have an experience with it one way or the other. Maybe it's just something you've witnessed. Maybe you've been a child of a parent who was overzealous at the ball field or whatever. Kids largely report the reason that they want to play sports in the first place is, number one, to have fun. Number two, because it's social, to be with their friends.
Yeah.
That's why they're there. And then what happens is they see this whole other side of their parent. And it becomes a thing of, oh my gosh, I'm not good enough. Oh my gosh, I'm not living up to what they really want. And it's so sad. It's something we've got to talk about. Our kids didn't play sports. Not many, Murphy. They were theater girls. And so that was fantastic for us. I don't think we could have.
There was no yelling at the theater.
Just at the end clapping. And here's some flowers. But I remember signing up to play sports when I was a kid because I wanted my father. I knew he would love it. I remember doing it for him. And feeling like I had disappointed him a lot because I could hear him in the stands. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's understanding that, they're going to put enough pressure on themselves if they want to do it.
Yeah. You saw a lot of this at the ball field too, Sam, though, didn't you, coach?
My oldest kid, Sammy, was playing baseball. I was an assistant coach. And you see that. And
it's heartbreaking.
You feel bad for the kid because the kid is on. I mean, I saw times where the parent, the father mainly, was yelling at the kid, catch the ball or do stuff like, and it's just like, no, don't do
that. Let them just play.
Yeah.
They say that the pressure from parents is what can break their experience for them, make them not love it and make them not want it. It happens a lot in soccer, they say, and basketball is one where they feel the pressure. I think it's because it's so close. They can hear and see every little thing.
Yeah, not the same as being, a little farther removed on a football field.
I think the main thing here is to remember why they play. They're playing for social reasons and to have fun.
Yeah, they're out there with their friends.
Remember that. Murphy came back from his man goal-setting retreat with some takeaways. One big takeaway, something he's eliminating from his life. And in case you missed that, the After the Show podcast from yesterday was all about it. You can search Murphy, Sam, and Jody anywhere you listen to podcasts and check it out.
It's not Jody, by the way.
She's still here, so it must not have been her.
But I think this is something anybody can eliminate, so check out the podcast. But one thing, when I was on the retreat, I went out to eat a few times by myself, and I sent Jody a picture that I think surprised her.
The Friday night picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, this beautiful.
It wasn't another woman, by the way.
Again, okay with all the stipulations. it was a beautiful plate of food.
Yeah.
One of your favorite kind of salads. So this was the beginning of the meal. And
yeah, caprese salad.
It was a martini glass with some red juice in it. Uh-huh. Some. You had I'm assuming it was a mocktail.
Oh, I didn't tell you about that. Okay. Yeah, it was. It was
a beautiful cocktail, mocktail looking. It was a drink.
Yeah, it's not. It's called Not Your Palms Martini. And it's served in a martini glass. But I was introduced to something I'd never heard of. Maybe you have, Sam. I don't know. There's a company that specializes in alcohol that's not alcohol. In other words, it's got the flavoring, but it doesn't have any alcohol in it.
Oh, wow.
The company's called Liars. Not as in not telling the truth. Oh, my God, it really is alcohol. No, L-Y-R-E.
Liars, but that's funny.
Yeah, and so, and they're award-winning, and it's not, apparently it's not cheap stuff either. It's not cheap to buy it in the store, but, and I've never really played around. I'm not all about the alcohol type flavor, because I don't want to be triggered by anything.
Right.
But, you know, this was, it was delicious, and it didn't have any alcoholic overtones. These just have a bite to them. They're a little bit more... Like
a real cocktail.
I guess that's probably what it is. It doesn't taste like you're drinking Kool-Aid, you know? Yeah.
So you had this one mocktail. It's the pink one, the red one.
Yeah. And then the waitress came back and she said, do you want another?
Keep on coming.
As long as you're pouring, yeah. And then that one was called a Berry Smasher.
Oh.
Another non-alcoholic that's got blackberry in it, and it's delicious.
It sounds like an alcoholic drink.
But Liars has everything from simple sugars to their versions of, you know, fake rum and fake whiskey and fake everything, yeah.
So you had more than one mocktail thanks to Liars.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you, they're charging for these like they're the real thing, though.
If there is a shirt or a pair of jeans or jewelry or some sort of accessory that you love that is not in, that you are told it is old and ugly, I hope you hold on to it. I hope you rock it if you want, because trends are trends. Who cares? I say that because we touched on this in Three Things to Know the other day. It's less time for fashion trends to return now. It used to be 20 years. It would be 20 years. Like something's really, really hot.
Yeah.
And then it cools off and it's uncool and it stays in a vault forever. And then a whole new generation, two generations come go, oh, this is cool. Let's start rocking it again.
Something that was hot in 2005 or 6 would be now.
Well, yeah, it used to be that way. But now fashion trends return in half the time in 10 years. It's faster, thanks to things like social media, thanks to just a visual, connected world that we live in.
Yeah, I mean, look, the mustache trend is back. And Jody was really sad when I shaved mine the first time.
Well, you shocked me with it.
Yeah.
You didn't even tell me. You just walked into the living room. I'm like, who is this man?
But ever since then, I mean, I've done the beard, you know, mustache combo I've done, but I've just noticed that's a trend.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're
it's
right.
Cyclical, right? It disappears, then it comes back.
All trends come back. All trends. Do you guys have any? I mean, I have so many that I always rock wear regardless, because I think some things are classic, and if some things are you should wear them. Anything?
For me, it's a jean jacket, and I don't know that that's a trend.
That's a classic
thing. You never throw away your jean jacket.
Correct. Okay, good one. See, it's good to pick a classic for that. And yeah. Murphy, your mustache, very classic one.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, I stay so basic and solid. I don't know I necessarily follow trends. I did get rid of my sweaters from the 90s, you know, which was probably a good thing.
I got rid of your sweaters from the 90s.
But they were such a big... Yeah. They were such a big, you know, those haven't come back. Have you noticed that?
Uh-huh. There's a reason.
It has not come back yet.
Yeah. So some of the things that are back for women, big blowouts, glam makeup. Mm. Yeah.
What about you?
Well, one thing that's back that I won't play, I will not play the game, is low-rise jeans. Low-rise jeans were in when I had just had my first C-section. Are you kidding? I could not even look at that waistline low, hanging right there where my problem was. I was so upset about that. And now I know that you should be wearing your jeans, your pants, where your natural waist is, which is like a mid-rise or high-rise for me.
Well, and some of us guys look like we're wearing low-rise no matter what we try to do.
Yeah. You know? That's a different situation. We mentioned yesterday that in Three Things to Know, that Americans are obsessed with cheese. We're a country that's obsessed with eating cheese, not just because we're all trying to get more protein, but when we go to the grocery store, cheese is almost on everybody's list. And it's so funny because the top three loved cheeses in America, it's very American. It's a very American list. Cheddar's number one, mm-hmm. Mozzarella's number two, and Parmesan is number three.
Yeah, makes sense.
But it made me think, and then Sam's comment was, what, no processed cheese food?
No slices?
We probably eat more processed cheese food than any other country as well.
Oh, look, that was my introduction to cheese as a kid.
Oh, me too.
American, all of us, Kraft American Singles, right, exactly. That's what I thought was cheese until I realized it was a processed cheese food.
Okay. I thought
it's still delicious.
I thought that was cheese too. Period. Yeah. I used to steal it.
Yeah.
I used to steal it because I wasn't allowed to have it. Blah blah blah. And it was just a.
Well,
oh
we
my
all
gosh.
Thought it was cheese. It wasn't until I was an adult when I realized it's whatever it is.
It does make good grilled cheese, I will say.
Oh yeah.
Still love that stuff. I bring it up because it made me think. One of our friends, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
She was telling me, and we could do this summer. It's something she used to love to do with her girls. And was like they had discovered some fantastic like gourmet grocery stores that carry all the good cheese.
Yeah.
Even Whole Foods, whatever. There are cheeses there that you've never heard of, that you've never been introduced to. And she said they would go once a week and everybody gets to pick out a little hunk of cheese that they wanted to try. And she would come home and do a cheese board.
Oh, that's cool.
And the point was... something new. Do not grab Gouda if you've had Gouda recently. Grab something you've never had before, and you just go home and have a little cheese and crackers party.
I love that. And you and I have actually done that before, Jody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when the movie Chef came out 10 years ago, whatever, and that grilled cheese thing, that the blending of cheeses for
three
a grilled
different.
Cheese sandwich and not just using your...
So good.
Yeah.
My friend Sherry, one thing that she realized when doing this with her kids is that she enjoyed the stinky cheeses. Hmm. It had to be really aromatic for her to like it.
I mean, those are more flavorful in a lot of cases.
That's what she said. That's what she said. Morning pick-me-up time. If you're introverted, I want you to be proud of it. Okay, we're going to get to why you can be proud of it. A little inside is that Sam has been on the edge of his seat knowing that the morning pick-me-up today was going to be about being introverts.
Yes,
because
I'm an introvert.
All right. I want you. Are you proud of it?
I guess.
Did you grow up thinking that you shouldn't be?
Well, I mean, there is a stigma from society if you're an introvert.
Sure. Too quiet.
Yeah.
Too inward.
Snob.
Oh, snob. I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
Introverts have a lot of unique strengths. I remember hearing one time introverts run the world because they're thoughtful and they absorb everything and they're slow to make decisions.
Look, my late dad was very much an introvert.
Yes.
But a great mind and one of the funniest people I knew.
And when he did have something to say, everybody stopped.
Oh, yeah.
To let it in and listen.
Yep, that's right.
So some qualities of most introverts. Not everybody fits into a box. Some people are a little bit of both.
Genius.
I didn't say that, Sam. But if you are an introvert and you're listening to this and you've been told that, especially if you felt the stigma, I want you to be proud of a few things. Introverts think things through before they speak, which is a superpower.
Mm. It is a superpower, yeah.
Because we all know, we've all experienced where words can burn and you can't take words back. Introverts are slower to do that.
Yeah.
They're great at active listening. They're really absorbing what you're saying. And if you say something to an introvert and you don't get a response back right away, they're marinating on it and you might get a response later.
That's also the way my dad was.
Yes.
He was interested in everything around him. I don't know that every introvert is necessarily like that.
No.
But he was interested in everything around him. So he did absorb and he would have a conversation back on things. So
you liking this, Sam?
So far.
Genius. The other thing is another reason that introverts can be set up for such success in life, and you guys will feel this, is that introverts are really good at focusing on one thing at a time. Too many tabs open does not speak to them. Mm. And so if you've got a goal of one thing at a time, you're focusing on weight loss or not drinking or even something small, like getting someone to go out with you, whatever, you can focus on that and give it your undivided. And the final one is deep relationships with the people closest to them. They don't have, it's quality over quantity for introverts. Genius.
Have you ever had the audacity when you've hired an Uber to ask them to stop anywhere along the way?
Well, you can actually, I think, request that in the app.
Oh, you
actually.
Can?
Yeah, I think.
Okay, I don't use it enough.
I did it once on the way home from a speaking engagement.
Did you request it in the app or you just asked the guy?
No. Backseat, I was a lady. She was driving. She was commenting on my dress. It was like a formal event and I was starving. And I'm like, if I buy you some chicken fingers, can you stop for me for some chicken fingers? And she did.
Well, that's smart. The only time I've done that is I had to ask the driver to stop at a hotel to get my luggage before where I was heading back to the airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, he was willing to do that because it was already on the
right,
route.
And that was part of the drive too, the minutes or whatever.
Yeah. Uber has a new feature they're adding for Uber Black and Uber Black SUV. Is that the top tier?
Murphy would know.
So that must... Uber Black, I think, is.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's guaranteeing you like a black SUV or something like that. It's more limousine-like, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Well, the new feature they're introducing is called Eats for the Way.
Yeah,
and
now.
This is only available in a couple of big cities right now, but you do your Uber reserve and you got your car coming, then you can tap next to it, add Uber Eats, and order whatever it is, and that person will pick it up for you. And so when they meet you,
they've got your food.
You get in your car, and there's your croissant and your coffee waiting for you.
Wow.
Wow, that's
pretty cool.
That's next level.
They're doing everything because I think we mentioned this a week ago or so in Three Things to Know that they've also added, and maybe not everywhere yet, but they're partnering with hotels also that in the app you can book your hotel and then they know where you are. But while you're in the city, it can be the app. If you're traveling, mm-hmm. it can be the app that you use for food, for rides, and for booking.
I mean, you can see that path. You know, for them. I don't know that they'll be able to become the all-in-one app or not, but when it comes to between Uber and Lyft, I mean, it's used so frequently for travelers, it just makes sense.
It does. Like one app for everything. Mm-hmm. And isn't it so funny that, will you always remember the first time you got in an Uber and you felt like it was weird?
Oh, I thought it was just like, wow, this is high travel here.
I think that Uber Eats and Uber combo works great, especially if like you're late and you don't have time to stop and eat for a meeting or whatever, or vice versa.
Perfect.
It's all done. Yeah, eat on the way.
In today's After the Show podcast, we are going to let Murphy explain the Eisenhower, what's it called?
Matrix.
The Eisenhower Matrix.
Everybody's eyes are glossing over. Actually, it's got
organization.
But it's not as complicated as it sounds.
Good.
Wasn't that a Keanu Reeves movie?
So President Eisenhower was the first one to really popularize this. It was his military strategy, and that's actually it. Almost every what do they call it? Time management book, organization book, right? You know, that is written has some sort of reference to it in a different form or name, just so that you know. So it's not like...
Oh, nice.
It's not as boring as it sounds. Yes.
Okay. Right. And for those who are seeking organization help...
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Which our oldest daughter, Taylor, called you the other night for that, and that's what she got like 2 hours of discussion of.
Yeah. So catch that in the podcast today after the show.
Okay. Moving on to some more of your comments about discontinued food that you want back. This has been so fun. We brought this up because of Tab. We brought this up because it doesn't just happen in... I feel like it's only in the world of cosmetics that companies give you and then they take it away because they redo formulas. But it happens in the grocery store a lot. Mm-hmm. We live in the land of plenty. There's too much on the shelves. People are always pulling things back, trying things if it doesn't sell. Steven said, Garfield fruit snacks, especially the 1-2 punch flavor. Does that mean anything to you guys?
No.
Me either.
I don't remember those, but I can see things being pressed into the shape of him.
Oh.
Garfield.
Okay, maybe they just had him out on the cover. I don't know. He has a list of things. There's something else here from Steven. Sour cream and onion Doritos. I don't remember those.
I don't remember those.
Me either, but they sound delicious.
Yeah, I think they were in a green bag, like Lay's.
Or you want to imagine them, don't you?
I'm trying to picture that. I do remember a sour cream and onion. Man, that's different than ranch flavor.
They can bring every Dorito on the planet, but you're not going to beat nacho cheese. Okay, and then the last thing that Steven wrote is Snackwell's Devil's Food Cake cookies.
Oh, yeah.
You guys remember Snackwell's?
Yeah. They don't sell Snackwell's anymore?
It was supposedly low-fat snacks.
Oh, was it? No,
I remember that well. Huh. And thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to get to eat a cookie. And it wanted to be a cookie.
Yeah. Well, but the one that I remember that I thought was genius and it's still around, don't know why I thought it was genius, is the soft baked Chips Ahoy cookie.
Like from the oven.
Right, it stays soft.
If you are a woman and you are single and you are dating, one of your number one concerns is, you guys probably don't realize this, but is safety. Women think about safety so often, especially single women.
I think
if
that's
you knew
smart.
How much energy went into feeling safe, and then especially the chance, the occasion of, let's just say you're meeting someone that you've been talking to online, and you're finally meeting them in person. You know, if you've watched too many true crime documentaries, that can be scary, and it should be scary.
Well, yeah, because you're meeting a stranger for the very first time.
Do men ever feel that way? Do you ever feel unsafe? When you were dating and you were meeting people sort of online and meeting at a coffee shop, Sam, I know, Murphy, you haven't dated in 30 years because we're married.
That's right.
No, it didn't bother me.
Okay. See,
I don't know, but
you
like
don't have
you
a
said,
woman's mind.
Yeah.
I'm it's a woman thing. Okay. So the ideas, the things that women who are single and dating, what they say really, really works, and some of the obvious ones, always make sure a trusted friend or family member knows where you're going, you know, what time. Always choose like a public place. Always. Somewhere with lots of lighting, lots of other people, and cameras. Mm. Choose a place that you know is surveilled to meet someone.
Yeah.
That's 101. Let a friend know where you are, but not just that. That's kind of obvious, like who you're meeting, where you met this person online. Also, make sure you know their last name.
Oh.
So you can do that look them up thing first. Don't just, you know, some supposedly, I don't know, but supposedly online, sometimes it's just like Murphy H.
Yeah, I think I would want to know the last name before I went and met somebody for
Correct.
Sure.
Correct. But that way you can look somebody up. Some women have gone as far as, and I think it's really smart. You meet somebody, you walk in together, take a picture of their car, of their license plate, of them, send it to your best friend. Now, if you're having to do all that, this is, you know, it's worrisome.
Well, but, yeah, it's the basics that you're talking about. And to me, it's like drive to meet the person. Don't necessarily let them pick you up. You mm-hmm. know, meet in a neutral place, meet in a public place, like you said.
Yeah.
And you know what? When you were talking about letting your friends know, you can do that. Put them in your Life 360 circle or find me on iPhone, that sort of thing, so that, you know, if you were just concerned.
Use tech to your advantage. Yeah. My other favorite one is have a secret code word with a friend. That friend who knows where you are, and make sure they call you mid-date. And if you say the secret code word, if that's Cool Whip, they come get you. I don't know why that's the word. Just be safe, safe. Do you think you know when a dog, your dog, is in pain and what signs to look for? We're going to talk about several signs, the obvious ones and then ones that are not so obvious.
Well, the obvious ones would be that they're not moving around as much. A pattern change is usually a sign of something.
Yeah. The number one is change in personality. Now, dogs, if a dog is getting older, and just because they're not as active doesn't mean they're in pain, but a change in true personality.
Yeah.
The day that our dog Champ doesn't want to go for a walk, I'll know something's up.
Yeah.
Because even as slowed down as he is, he sleeps 18, 20 hours a day, and he walks slower, he still wants to go for the walk. He still does a very reduced zoomie when it's time. You know?
Yeah, he's excited. He makes noise. Mm-hmm. But even when he's in the backyard now, he doesn't run back to the house the way that he used to.
No, he just can't. Yeah.
My old boy, Gus, before he passed away, he still tried to keep up the happy attitude. He would limp around or he would be slower, but you could tell, hey, everything's okay.
You know, they say what you're saying is true. They say dogs will show up for you. Yeah. They keep showing up for you.
That's what he did.
They want to please.
They are companions, the ultimate companion. So change in personality being the number one, Murphy, you're correct. Hesitant paw lifting. If they used to lift their paws like, hey, and they were hesitant about it, it's like letting you know.
That maybe it hurts.
Maybe.
What's crazy about Champ, you know, our dog is that he's gotten so happy or accustomed to us reaching up and shaking that if you just walk up and he's excited, you walk up to him, he starts to.
Or not. He thinks you're going to want it anyway.
Yeah. So he raises his paw.
He does it involuntarily. It's like muscle memory for him. Yeah. You walk up to him, he's going to go, hey.
Yeah.
I'm Champ.
It's funny.
Reduced play. That's obvious. Reduced play. Fluctuating mood. If your dog was happier more often and has become less happy, it could be that. Turning their head or body away from you when they normally would sit in a room and look toward you. Oh, they say that's a little bit
I
sort of like.
I never noticed that.
Well, it's not something we are trained to look for. It's not something we know to look for. Murphy, I'm going to say this next one and you're going to know, you're going to think of Sparky, and that is freezing in place.
Oh, yeah. Which he does a lot
sometimes
when he's
just
uncomfortable.
He'll bopping along and just
and he'll
stop.
Just stop.
Like somebody said, freeze or whatever that old that game was.
Yeah.
And it bothers us because we know his back is bothering him or something like that. We have a couple of really old dogs. Increased grooming is another one. If they're just constantly licking all the time, some say, vets say, it doesn't mean that they are, but it means that they could be because that's one of the ways they are dealing with
it. So you just take him to the vet just as a precaution?
Just to find out. Join us anytime. We do read and see every single message that rolls in to YouTube, Instagram, Facebook Messenger, all the places. Joanna sent this regarding what we had posted about how we all struggle as human beings with doing nothing. We're used to being, it's the busy effect. You get used to rolling that way and you don't know how else to be. And then vacation comes and you're like, I don't even know who I am. Right? Okay, so Joanna sent a picture of her sitting in front of some beautiful blue water. We just spent a week in the Bahamas and it was just so relaxing, just sitting on a patio watching the ocean. I left my phone on airplane mode the entire week and loved it.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. I've never left my phone on airplane mode except when on an airplane.
And even then, I forget.
Yes! I wasn't going to admit it.
Yeah.
You know, the first time I left, I forgot to put it on airplane mode. And then we were in mid-flight, and I realized it. I panicked. I thought, oh, my gosh, they're going to single me out, and they're going to come and fuss at me.
Yeah.
Isn't it about the signal? It's about the pilots hearing noises or something like that?
I don't even know where to go.
Okay, Murphy, you're the technical person.
I know.
What?
I'm telling you, what Murphy doesn't want to say is, I don't think we really need to do that.
Well, they can. I mean,
it can interfere with the pilot.
Just do it. Do what the flight attendant says to do.
Excuse me. If the aviation administration wants us to do it, we should do it. There's a reason, right? Yeah. Even if it's it sounds like a fly in their ear is what I've heard. And if it's a whole plane full of 300 people,
where did
it's like,
you
buzz.
Hear that? Really?
I read about it that time
that
time that I accidentally left mine on. I was so panicked that I had done something wrong.
Now I'm picturing the pilot, the co-pilot. Do you feel a fly in here? Now somebody's got their phone on back there.
Okay. Say the message again.
Look, I know you don't.
Ladies and gentlemen, please.
No, you don't want to say it, Murphy, but I've heard that, too, from other people. It's like, you don't need to put it on airplane mode.
I think you need to. But back to Joanne's relaxation.
Yes, I'm so glad that you were able to relax. And airplane mode on the ground is a great way to do nothing.
Yeah.
Jody's Hollywood Outsider.
I've got Zac Efron news with a reminder that he's not just a pretty face dancing up and down a high school hallway. That may have been your introduction to him. It was mine, too. But a reminder that he can do some serious acting. He's had a lot of movies and a lot of roles. Recently, this drama, Iron Claw.
Ever since I was a child, people said my family was cursed.
So, Zac Efron is now set to star in and executive produce an upcoming HBO series adaptation. So, it'll be episodes that you can just watch of an adaptation of Angel Heart. And those words may not ring a bell, but I'm going to bring you back to a late 80s movie starring Mickey Rourke, Lisa Bonet, and Robert De Niro.
Whew.
So it's serious. Zac Efron he plays this guy who is a struggling paparazzi. Uh-huh. His livelihood depends on finding people who really want to be hidden. He gets approached by this wealthy guy who has a special assignment to find a missing woman. And it plunges him into this conspiracy, into this supernatural world. Angel
Heart. Oh, man, that could be good.
It is going to be Zac Efron's next big project.
Don't know if you've ever had to put a lifelong dream on hold. But that's kind of what I'm doing.
Wow.
A lifelong dream?
Okay, maybe not a lifelong, but in the past few years. I told you that, you know, whenever retirement rolls around, I've considered van life.
Yeah, Sam.
You know, buying the van, living in the van.
Down by the river.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Much.
I had to say it.
I had a feeling that's where it would go.
So meaning that your van would be your home.
Yeah.
Meaning sell your house, buy the vehicle.
Yeah. And everything is right
there. That's being committed.
Yeah. And I was all gung-ho about it. But in the past 2 weeks, I have started investigating the situation. You know, everything that's involved in it.
Oh.
And it's really taken a little of the shine off of my idea.
Not a Sam thing?
I don't think so. Solitary life. That's for me. I can handle that, no problem. Mm-hmm. But it's just all the other stuff that's involved in it.
Connecting to sewage?
Oh.
I don't know. I mean,
you got to have enough water.
Cousin Eddie.
You got to have enough water. And then, you know, you got gray tanks and black tanks and all that. And you're connecting to the sewage to dump it.
Yeah.
Where do you fill up the water at? Power-wise, you're going to have solar. You got to keep your batteries charged. You got to have enough to do this and do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, everything I'm happy with now in life.
And your home.
Putting that in a van, it's just not going to compute.
It sounds like it's a lot of work.
It sounds like it's a lot of work, and especially at that time in your life, you know.
Do you want
70
that?
Years old trying to compute, okay, I've got enough amperes here to run the hair dryer.
Right.
And all that. It's just maybe it'll be something where I can rent a van and take a trip for a week.
I was going to say,
and
recreational. Like that. That's the greatest way to try it.
Yeah.
If you're not committing, you're not buying something that's really expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you go enjoy, live vicariously for a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go treat it like, or do a camper and go spend some time like in a national park and spend a week or two.
Yeah.
And then come home and see how you like the comforts of home.
If I'm going to rent, I think it'll be a camper because it's like, why rent a tiny little van? And then common sense has finally kicked in, is what I'm saying here.
Aww.
I did enough research on it where it's like, that's not going to be what I want to do.
That's really smart. That's good to know.
Before I bought the van,
keeps you from being impulsive.
Because you know what's not in one of those vans?
What?
Your big bathtub with your bath bombs.
There's a hose on the back.
Joy is essential, and it's also elusive. But now, there's a new and exciting way to start your journey toward a more joyful existence. Joy 101. It's a new podcast hosted by me, Hoda Kotb. If you're craving inspiration to maximize your joy, tune into these candid, uplifting, and moving on-air chats. Listen to Joy 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Joy 101 with Hoda Kotb is presented by CVS.
Hey, this is Chuck from Stuff You Should Know, and we're submitting our most science-y episodes for your peer review with our new Stuff You Should Know Doing Science playlist, out now. You want to know about Occam's Razor? The simplest explanation is usually the right one. We got you covered. Wondered what chaos theory is ever since the first time you saw Jurassic Park? Well, come on down. So distill a nice pot of tea, everybody, turn down the gas on your Bunsen burner, and slip into your most comfortable lab coat and listen to the Stuff You Should Know Doin' Science playlist on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.